Miscellaneous.
Yo, yo, what is up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast of Miscellaneous. Me and Devin are back for episode 19. We haven't been releasing many episodes lately just because we've been super busy with basketball and school and school trips that we've been going on and just a whole bunch of stuff. It's been really hard. But, you know, we still love doing this and we want to keep it going because it's a lot of fun and we feel like it's good for us and good for our future. So, Devin, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing A-okay. Just got done with school and now we're here working on the podcast and got a lot of stuff to do. So,
Yeah, I had a pretty rough day at school today. Well, I mean, it was fun, but I failed the quiz, so that kind of sucked. Anyways, Devin is getting his driver's license tomorrow.
I am indeed, and I'm kind of hyped for that.
At least he's taking his test.
Well, I'm taking my test.
Hopefully you get it.
I will.
Cool. Anyways, so for this episode, we're going to talk about salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be kind of a... You know, this episode is going to, what's the word? It's going to feature our Christian background in what we, and our knowledge of salvation that we've learned growing up from, you know, being Christians and growing up in Christian homes and a Christian community. Anyway, so yeah, let's dive right in. So for this podcast, it's actually supposed to be a project for Devin's Bible class.
Yeah.
His Bible teacher Justin Janetsko has assigned us assigned Devin a project where we're supposed to talk about salvation, and I'm very interested in salvation and what we have and what there is to learn because there's a lot of different opinions on how people can be saved and, you know, ways to get to heaven and what really is heaven and what does salvation really mean. So I'm really excited. So Devin, you want to start us off?
All right. So we could probably run it this way. I give you these examples and definitions, and I bounce them off you, and then you get kind of give me feedback on what you think and any of your ideas like that. You think that's cool?
Wait. So first off, what you're gonna name off are like the types of people.
So yeah, we in Bible we talked about the four main ideas of salvation, and yeah, so I'll go over those super quickly, and I'll give you the definitions, and then we can kind of run it like a maybe like a mini interview, something like that. If that's okay with you. All right.
Sounds fun.
All right. So the first one is exclusivism. So, meaning, those who are religiously exclusivist claim that those and only those who have met the criteria set forth by one religious perspective can spend eternity in God's presence. So that means it's my way or the highway. It's one way into God's presence. If it's not that, then there's no other way.
So basically through exclusivism, that's the type of person that has an opinion on what they think is right for religion or just basically anything, and then they believe that their opinion is the only opinion that's right and no other opinion has any say in anything because they believe that their opinion is 100% correct.
Well, I guess they could be using like maybe they'll kind of like take biblical references and like maybe use examples of people in the Bible like, oh, this person received God's grace by doing so and so, and maybe they'll use it that. So like, I mean, it's not like kind of like shunning all other opinions, but that's just what they believe is, I guess it's the right way to make it to heaven, but I don't know. But okay, so the next one.
Next one.
All right, next one.
So we have exclusivism.
Exclusivism. Got it. You're good. Pluralism is the next one. And that's those who believe that there's more than one way to God and that religions are more and less equal in their salvific ability are called, and those people are the pluralist. So I guess meaning that, there's hundreds and thousands of religions in the world, and I guess it's pretty much saying like, I don't even know. I guess this would tie into like if you're a good person and like you do like well good in this world, then you'll receive salvation by God no matter necessarily what you believe in. If you happen to be wrong about what the afterlife actually is, then
right, it's more flexible.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, the flexibility, I like that. So then inclusivism is everyone can be saved. And I don't necessarily know if that means, like, you just have to believe in God or that just means everyone goes to heaven or I don't know personally, but we can kind of dive into that later.
It's inclusivism?
Inclusivism, yeah.
So does it say everyone can be?
Everyone can be saved.
Okay. So I think basically what that's saying is there's no, like, one religion you have to follow, no, like, one thing you have to follow, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of like, I guess, necessarily, it's almost like pluralism.
Basically saying anyone from any religion can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it doesn't really clarify, like if they have to have any good works or show, or do they have to do anything with their actions that say that helps them become saved, or just says everyone can become saved?
Yeah, based on my research, it doesn't say like there's necessarily a specific criteria to reach salvation, but I don't know. We might figure that out later on the podcast. And then lastly is atheism, and obviously they do not believe in a god. So they don't believe that there is an afterlife for them. They just believe it's just lights out right after you die, and then you have no consciousness, nothing. So yeah, so I don't know if you want to give your opinion on what you believe is right out of those four.
Okay, so I'm reading a different definition on inclusism that I found.
Okay.
It's a website called religiousdiversity.edu. I don't know if anyone listening thinks that's not a reliable source, but this is just what I'm reading from. It says, inclusism, one of several approaches to understanding the relationship between religions, asserts that while one set of beliefs is absolutely true, other sets of beliefs are at least partially true. So basically, what I get from inclusism, combining these two definitions, is that people who are inclusivists believe that their religion and what they believe is basically absolutely true. However, they're open to understanding that other religions and other people who have different beliefs can also have thoughts and ideas that are partially true and could still potentially be saved.
Yeah, I get okay. That works. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. So those are the four, and if you'd like to give your opinion on that, I'd love to hear it and bounce back and forth.
Try to understand the difference between inclusivism and pluralism. Can you read the definition of pluralism?
Yeah, so what I had from that, from what I found off a website, I wasn't exactly sure what it was, but it was that said, those who believe that there's more than one way to God and that religions are more or less equal in their salvific ability, and those people are called pluralist.
Okay. Well, for me, the way I've grown up, obviously, in like an Adventist community, which makes sense. If you grew up in a religion, of course, if you grew up in any religion, the people who taught you that religion while you were growing up obviously do believe that their religion is the right religion. Otherwise, what the heck are they doing believing in that religion? So I have no problem with that. I'm not throwing any shots at Adventist or anything. In fact, I love being a Seventh-day Adventist, and I've loved being able to grow up in the community. But one thing I've realized growing up in Seventh-day Adventist is that people do kind of say, like, this is what's right, this is how you become saved, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. So I've kind of just been, like, showed all these guidelines and everything, whatever. And I don't blame Seventh-day Adventists for having any of the beliefs that they do, because everything that I've learned so far growing up, I've been able to look in the Bible, and it makes a lot of sense. I say, yeah, it seems like that's what the Bible is basically saying. And so if we're going to follow strictly through what the Bible says, I feel like that's what Seventh-day Adventists have done, at least for me, for my life growing up, in the communities that I've grown up in. And I think I've met a lot of Seventh-day Adventists that are pluralist and are inclusivist and are exclusivist, mm-hmm. which I think is something really cool about Seventh-day Adventism, is you can be, you know, at least from what I've been able to see. I know a lot of people would argue, but I feel like you can be any of these three, exclusivist, pluralist, or inclusivist, and still be able to go to a Seventh-day Adventist community and thrive among people who are different. So that's what I really like about the Seventh-day Adventist religion, is that you can kind of be, you kind of believe sort of what you want about the religion and still be included in the community and included as an Adventist.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the direction that I push in after reading these definitions, this is my first time ever like actually hearing these types of people and believers. I position myself probably most as a pluralist, because I feel that it is possible for anyone to be saved no matter what religion.
Mm-hmm.
I've grown up in a Seventh-day Adventist religion, as I've expressed in this podcast throughout many episodes and this episode as well. And I do not believe that. I don't think that if I was in any other, that if I grew up in any other religion, that I would become, that I'd be a Christian. If I grew up a Muslim, if my parents were Muslim, if my community was Muslim, I feel like I'd be a Muslim.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's the way it'd be for me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I do believe in a God.
Yeah.
And mostly based off of what the Bible says, I do believe that that's mostly what I believe. But that's pretty much because that's what I've grown up in.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say that if I've grown up in any other sort of type of religious community that I wouldn't believe their religion as well. So I don't think it's fair to say that like only Seventh-day Adventists are going to be saved, because there are many people who grow up and just don't really have a chance to ever find who Jesus actually or even learn about who Jesus is,
mm-hmm.
just because that's just not what they grew up in. That's just not what they see in their life.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've known a lot of people who believe in the same things that I believe in, as far as like who God is, and they believe that they believe in Jesus and everything in the Bible. Who aren't as far as like the deeds that they do for other people, who don't actually do much good for other people in this world. And I've also known people who are atheists, who don't believe in a God, who do go out and do a lot of really good things for people in the world, and who do seem to be so what called good people.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, speaking like how you were just saying about good things, that will tie us into our next topic. But I'll kind of like give my opinion on what I kind of believe is the right idea of salvation, and I'll give it like a little backstory. So I feel like as I've grown up going to church, I've always been taught like an inclusivist like a way, like meaning that everyone will be saved, which I'm not. So could you read that definition back again? I don't know if you have it up, but like about inclusivism, because I'm not sure if like everyone can be saved. There's like, okay,
it says, yeah. One of several approaches to understanding the relationship between religions, it asserts that while one set of beliefs is absolutely true, other sets of beliefs are at least partially true.
Okay, so maybe I'll phrase it. So I was taught maybe more of a pluralist way. So meaning if you are whatever one that like would say as long as you're accepting of God and you accept him as your heavenly father and savior, that you would go to heaven. That's kind of what I've been taught like growing up. But I feel like it also is like I hear the same pastors like they contradict themselves, and then they use like kind of exclusivist, they kind of like maybe just like use exclusivist like terms. I don't know how to like necessarily phrase it, but the rhetoric kind of like hints to exclusivist. And just for me, like I've gone back and forth, like is there one way in heaven, or do all I have to do is just be accepting? And like it kind of like boggles my mind, and like I go back and forth like struggling, thinking what if I'm not, I haven't done enough to go to heaven? And I just like, I've never known, have I done enough to go to heaven? Have I like just met, I feel like it's always been like, I've been told that it has to be like a checklist you have to complete. Like if you haven't done a good deed for so-and-so, then you're not qualified for heaven. Like just stuff like that seems like, it's not pushed me away from Christianity, but it's like, I don't know, just made it super complicated for me to kind of understand what will the afterlife actually be like, or what do I have to do to not do, because it's like, once again, every time I say that, I feel like it's a checklist I have to complete, but like, just what is salvation? That's all I have to say.
Have you ever seen the show, The Good Place?
I haven't seen it, but I heard of it.
Yeah. So basically The Good Place, if you haven't heard of it or seen it, it's a show where, it's basically the whole thing is like set in like the afterlife. So it's supposed to be set like during like heaven and hell times, mm-hmm. or whatever. And so basically what happens in that show is, everyone who lives on Earth, every single action that they do, adds up to either a good action or a bad action. And there's people above there's people up above them who are called the judges, who judge whether or not a deed is going to be a good deed or a bad deed, and how good of a deed it's going to be. So if it's like, if you do something really, really good in this world, then you get like a bunch of brownie points. And if it's just kind of good, then you just get a little bit of brownie points. If it's really bad, you get a lot of bad points. If it's just kind of bad, you only get a few bad points. So basically, that's the way they portrayed it in this show. And there's these people who go into this place, and they wake up and they go into the good place or whatever. Anyways, aside from that, I don't want to explain the entire show. Aside from that, the point from that I got watching that show that I thought was really interesting is the idea that there's someone up there who's counting, who's watching every single little thing they do, and like everything, every single little thing they do counts for whether or not they're going to be saved and go to a good place called heaven or go to the bad place, which is hell.
Well, do you think that's how it works?
I do not believe that.
Okay, so that will tie us into our topic, just actually.
It's interesting for me to see.
Yeah.
I believe that salvation is something that's free, and I don't think it has anything to do with the bad things you do on earth. I think it has to do with, because, I mean, the Bible says that we're all sinners,
mm-hmm.
and there's no one who's going to be able to live up to who God was.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe, I mean, look at Paul from the Bible. Paul, or I guess before, Saul.
Saul, yeah.
One of the worst people that you could ever meet, you know, going off and just killing people for what they believed in.
Yeah.
But that's like the biggest no-no in today's world, at least.
Especially like to believe, like he killed people specifically for believing in Jesus. Like
mm-hmm.
that would be like a big no-no.
So he went from that to being the person who wrote the most books in the Bible and who dedicated the rest of his life after he found Jesus to trying to go and make followers of Jesus and to make peace among people and just try to share the good news of the gospel and of salvation.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that really ties us in. Even that show you just talked about ties us into like kind of the next topic, which was like, so in Bible, we talked about these four salvation statements. And so I'll read them off real quick. So it's works equals salvation. The next one is faith plus works equals salvation. And then faith equals salvation equals no love. And then there's faith equals salvation equals love. And kind of what you explained in that show you were talking about, The Good Place, that was a great example of works equals salvation. As you were saying, they were tallying up their good deeds and bad deeds or whatever they thought, the judges thought was bad or good, which is works. And we kind of established in the class that that's what most Christians tend to think like, and that's their mindset was that it's a criteria list that you have to complete in order to get to heaven. You have to you have to be more of a good person rather than a bad person to receive God's grace.
And that's why I think the show is really interesting to watch, because people who believe that can see how that plays out and they can see that that actually seems very mm-hmm. cruel, and it seems like it's very hard to follow by.
Yeah, because there's definitely people who believe that for sure. And I mean, yeah, that's kind of how I thought of it was before, like till recently. Like I always thought like, I have to be a good person. Like if I'm not constantly a good person, I'll go to hell. And it's like just a scary thought to have. Like if I still believe works equal salvation today, my mind would be going crazy, because like it's honestly stressful to keep up with, like keeping up with all your good deeds and anything like that. So in class, we kind of like automatically cross that off of why that's not the correct salvation mm-hmm. statement.
Real quick.
Yeah.
I disagree with you and your class on that. Just simply because, I don't know, I look at it a little bit of a different way than what you guys looked at it as, or as far as what you were explaining.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that works equals salvation is for me, I believe that that's what's true. Just because works as far as like what you do to love people. I think the overall message that I've gotten from the Bible is to love God.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I've gotten from the Bible is to love God is to love other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you have to necessarily believe and know who God is to love other people. And I do know that there are many people in this world who just grow up they grow up in places where they don't really have an opportunity to even hear the name of God, to even like really know about who he is or learn about what this guy named Jesus did here on earth or whatever. But they're still great, amazing people.
Mm-hmm, but
I don't understand why it, like, I mean, if they're good people and at the bottom of the heart they show love to other people and they do it for good reasons, like those are good works. And I think as long as your heart is there and you make that choice to go love other people, whether or not you know it, you're doing God's work. And I think those people will be saved. That's just my opinion.
Can I ask you this? Like, so if God really does exist, wouldn't that be God working in those people if they're showing loving and doing good deeds and stuff like that? Would it?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I think God works in everyone.
So yeah, and that's why we like we'll kind of like jump the gun.
I truly don't believe that God's overall goal is to go and is to come into this world and make sure everyone knows him by name. And I don't think his overall goal is to make sure everyone believes that he is our creator, that he's the one who did all this for us. I don't think he's an ignorant God like that. I think when he works in us, his overall goal for us is just to make us loving people and to make us spread love across the nations because that's what he created us out of, and therefore that's what he wants us to be to each other.
All right, so that's why, I mean, there's billions of people who don't believe in God. And yeah. So that's why I believe that works equals salvation is not correct, because, I mean, if we were to say we take all those billions of people who, of course, like they'll have some love in them, they'll do good things, and I just think that's God working in them. I don't know if that kind of contradicts my whole pluralist idea, but I mean, if we can junk the gun, and I'll say what I believe was true, which is faith equals salvation equals love, which Genesco brought an interesting point. He said the love/works is the proof that God's living in you, and it's not the means. That's not what you have to do to receive God's love. And I like when he said that, I was like, amen. Oh yeah. So all that stuff. So like it was super interesting and eye opening to when he said that. So you know God is your savior. You go to church. You do all this stuff. Yada yada yada, and you receive salvation. And then as you like grow a stronger bond with God and all that, you will tend to be a better person, and you will like be more loving and stuff like that. So that's why
I totally agree with that.
Yeah,
but I don't think that you have to grow a bond with God to become more of a loving person, because I think there's no denying that there's so many people in the world who grow up in religions that don't ever mention the type of God that we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore they don't really have the opportunity to grow up in that kind of a place. Just like if you're someone who grows up in a family who tells you it's okay to do drugs, it's okay to smoke, it's okay to drink alcohol, it's okay to have, it's okay to go around and have all this sex with anybody you want, go sleep around. If that's what you're accustomed to growing up as a kid, then you're going to believe that that's okay. And then when you get into the real world, you're going to be like, how does everyone not think this is okay?
Yeah. Well, I also think God, he bonds with people who also choose not to bond with them or don't even know.
He does.
Yeah. So that's
what. But he doesn't necessarily need them to know exactly who he is or what he is. He just needs them. He just wants to work in everyone. I just believe that he sincerely doesn't really care if people know him by name.
Yeah, I think if he did want that, he would have done it, because there's obviously people. I mean,
and so therefore, I don't think, like, obviously, I think faith for, like, me as a believer in God, faith is what helps me stay a believer in God and stay motivated to go out and go do good things in the world. And it helps me to be able to have a reason to live. Because of my faith, and I believe that I'll be saved one day, it gives me hope that if I do, it adds meaning to my life. It tells me that my life means something. However, I don't think that faith is something that you need to have to be saved. I truly do think that it's your works alone. It's what you do to love other people that will get you, that will win you your salvation.
There also is, like, you know, the unpardonable sin, like denying God. Am I correct? Like, that's the unpardonable sin. Like, if I'm denying God, if biblically that's correct, I will not receive. What do you think if someone denied God or committed the unpardonable sin, would they receive salvation?
Because
they can still do good stuff after they've committed that sin. But then, so, like, then it, like, it turns into, I guess, like a checklist. Like, have you I don't know. That's why I think just if there's more to it than works, or works comes after your journey or your bondage with God.
Well, okay, I want you to give me an example of a place in the Bible where it talks about the unforgivable sin.
Okay, I would have to look it up, but because I don't know, I cite that from, but I know I kind of heard it throughout churches and stuff like that.
I've heard it too, but I've never actually seen a verse where it says like the unforgivable sin is to deny Jesus. Peter?
Okay, well, it says blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven.
And where is that? Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather me scatters. And so I tell you, any sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. That's Matthew 12:30-32. Now I want to find out what exactly blasphemy against the Holy Spirit means. And why it can't be forgiven, I don't really know. That was in Matthew, so that was one of the Gospels. You know, there are many things in the Bible for me that I can't explain. However, I am the kind of person that doesn't believe everything I hear in the Bible.
Well, I didn't talk about it on the podcast, but I've always believed that the Bible is infallible. I believe that everything about it is correct. It's just that since we're humans, we don't interpret it the way that it might have been meant to be interpreted, or just anything like that. But I believe the Bible is correct in every way, shape, or form. I just don't know, like, us being who we are and or obviously ignorant to a lot of things, mm-hmm. we don't know how to interpret it. So
obviously humans wrote the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and we believe that the reason that the Bible speaks truth is because God spoke through humans.
Yeah.
And people believe that God sends prophets to the earth, and therefore he speaks through the prophets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are many pastors people will say that God speaks through pastors, and that's basically God. Pastors are, and people like that, and prophets are people, basically are God's, are people who like intercept God's message and give it to the people, and they're supposed to like give truth, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But every person makes mistakes. Every person is sinful.
Yeah.
And so therefore, many pastors are make a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. There are many, many pastors in this world who preach about different things, whatever. Like in the same religion, who preach different ideas and different things, and they all mean different things, and they all and a lot of times they contradict themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say that that couldn't have happened in the Bible?
Yeah,
one thing that Mr. Janetsko always says is that a lot of times people read the Bible looking for answers,
mm-hmm.
when in reality it doesn't really seem like it's a book of answers. It's more of a book of questions,
mm-hmm.
more of a book to raise conversation.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that part where you said that humans wrote the Bible, so there could be flaw in it. And because that brings me back to there's an artist I listen to. I won't talk about, go on forever, but he says he doesn't like reading the Bible because a human wrote it. And I mean, because we talk about how humans are so ignorant, they're sinners, they will mess up all the time, and but then we choose to believe that since humans wrote the Bible, we kind of just subscribe to the fact that, it was God spoke through them. God wrote the Bible through Paul, Matthew, all those people, you know? And I mean, I don't know necessarily why we kind of just subscribe to that from the idea of that, but I mean, that's why I'm so confused, because I still think that I think the Bible is infallible, but I also I had a point in time where I thought the Bible, there's definitely some wrong things about the Bible because we're humans, we mess up all the time, and there's no ands if or what's about it. So I don't know. Yeah, but okay. So I mean, we can move on, and then we can talk about what we believe is the way to receive salvation.
Okay. The way I interpret blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is someone who knows who the Holy Spirit is, someone who knows that God exists.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you look up the definition of blasphemy?
But they still deny them. And they still... Okay, it says, blasphemy is the act of insulting or showing contempt or lack of reverence to a deity or sacred objects or towards something considered sacred or inviolable. Some religions consider blasphemy to be a religious crime. So what I'm understanding from this is it's saying it's like insulting something or showing contempt or lack of reverence to a deity. When I read that, that makes me think that blasphemy is something that you show just to someone that you know. As far as, like, how could you insult something or show contempt to something if you don't actually know who they are?
I think you very well could, because, I mean, like, say if you were a missionary trying to tell me about God and I said all these horrible things, whatever will be considered blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, you try to bring me to God and I'm just denying you because...
Well, I've actually had many friends before who have told me that they don't believe in God.
Yeah.
And they don't believe there's a God. And they're still good people, whatever. It's not like they said, like, I hate God, whatever. If you're someone who says, I hate God, that's a whole lot different than saying, I don't believe in God.
Well, if you hate God, I feel like then you're acknowledging he's there.
Yeah.
But you have past experience with why you would, quote-unquote, hate God. But, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, the people that tell me they don't believe in God, I think it'd be harsh for them not to be able to have salvation solely because they don't believe in God.
So would you say blasphemy would be like that example I gave you? If you were a missionary trying to bring me to God, would you, and I denied you and I said all these horrible things about Christianity, would you consider that blasphemy, or just because I'm, but, or would you just consider it like blatant ignorance? Because, because if I'm accustomed to something, like a whole religion, and then a person try to tell me otherwise, I mean, it's like a hard pill to swallow. You don't want to be told that. I mean, I'm not saying that Christians are the right religion, but I'm, like, saying, like, you don't want to be told that there's other beliefs, like, you're wrong and I'm right. Like, it makes sense to why you would deny it, but I don't know if that would be considered blasphemy or not. So, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, anyways, we're getting kind of long on time, so we should probably come to an end here. But anyways, to conclude...
We can just wrap... Well, can we wrap it up, actually, this...
Go ahead.
You want me to wrap it up
with the verse? Devin has a Bible verse he wants to wrap it up with.
That's not what I wanted to wrap it up with, but we can read this. Before I read the verse, I want to talk about, like, we just got to... I know we kind of went on... Okay, so we kind of went on, but just to conclude, like... What is the true way you believe to receive anyone or you yourself has to receive salvation?
For me?
Yeah.
I truly believe that it's how you treat other people. I truly believe that to love God is to treat other people. I think you can say that you love God and you can go read your Bible and do all these things. You can believe in him. You can have all the faith in the world. But at the end of the day, what it truly means to love God is to love other people, because that's what he did for us. The way he showed love to us is he served us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the way we show love to him is by serving other people, because that's what he wants for us to do. And I think as long as we serve other people and we do it out of the bottom of our hearts, out of love, and we're genuinely good people, I think that's all it takes to... I think that's all it takes for salvation.
Well, how do you serve God without the faith?
How do you serve God without the faith?
Yeah.
You have it in your heart.
Because God's there. That's why I believe, like, I don't want to start the whole discussion again, but...
God can be there in the heart without you knowing it.
Yeah, I truly believe that, too.
God is everywhere. Like, I'm sure there are many times you've been lying in your bed, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like, I go throughout all my day, and God is with me everywhere I go, and I don't always acknowledge that or know that.
Okay, well, I'll just say that I'm still subscribed to the fact that you have to acknowledge God, and...
So, do you think that anyone who doesn't actually believe that there is a God won't go to heaven? Because if that's so, there's not gonna be a lot of people in heaven. I guess, but...
I don't
want to say that you're wrong, because the overall thing that I get from the Bible, aside from love others... I feel like the overall thing that it says in the Bible is to not judge other people.
Yeah.
And so I just like to say what I believe, but I like to do my best to try not to say that what I believe is right. It's just my opinion.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say that my opinion is right over other people, because that's what God says I'm not supposed to do.
Okay, yeah, I just think probably because I've grown up hearing this, like, since I was a kid, and, like, it just stuck with me, and it makes sense to me. Like, once you accepted God, you received salvation, and then once you receive salvation and you've grown a very good bond with God, you do good works through Him. And that's just, I mean, I'd never thought of it in that sense, like, faith equals salvation equals work. I kind of, like, I thought, like, as you did, works equals salvation. But then, I mean, kind of Mr. Janesco, like, changed my whole perspective on it. And, yeah, that's just my take on that. I guess we have different takes, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just one more thing to add. I just believe that God works in mysterious ways and works differently for everybody.
Yeah.
For some people, for me, it's the straight words of the Bible and what the Bible says and everything like that, whatever. But I think many generations ago in, like, the in ancient Greece, people who believed in, like, you know, Greek mythology, Greek gods, whatever, I think God could have been somewhere in the mix there too, you know? You never know. I think God reveals Himself to people in different ways across the universe.
Yeah. I do agree that He works in mysterious ways.
And I think there's so much that we have no idea about Him, about who He is. Right. Anyways, to conclude, thank you, Devin.
Thank you, Torvi, for helping me out.
Hopefully you get an A+ on this project.
I hope so.
Mr. Janesco, if you're still listening, I hope you like this project. We had a fun time with it. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. Remember, if you would like to follow in on, like, updates, you can go follow us on Instagram at Miscellaneous Talks, right?
Mm. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Miscellaneous Talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's on Instagram. And make sure to subscribe to the channel if you liked us, if this is your first time listening to us. Thank you for listening. And just remember that we're doing this because we want to grow as people, whatever. If you have any sort of ideas or if you have any suggestions for us, please let us know. Just know that we are still kids. We're still in high school. We're not the most intellectual people because we're not, you know, I'm fair to say it. We're not fully matured yet. We're still 18. You know, our brains aren't completely developed yet. I know it sounds weird, but that's just the way it is. And so this is just us trying something new and just trying to better ourselves as people and trying to get good as we go on to our real lives in the real world in the next few years. So thank you guys for listening. It really means a lot.
Well worded, Torvi.
Anyways, tune back in next time. Miscellaneous.
Bye-bye.
Wait, what was the one thing we used to say?
It was be spontaneous. It was
something like be spontaneous, be blah, 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 be miscellaneous.
Bye.
All right, we'll end it there. See you guys.